All right, everyone. It's the Grimlord here, and this is the Visual Novel Corner. And we've got Fatal 12. I believe we're on part 5 now. Can't do it for that long. I actually have been doing some other stuff, and I needed to get this in because I know you guys like this one. So, we're going to try to get some in so you guys can continue to, you know, keep up with the story. We want to continue the story. So let's just go ahead and start it. Sponsor is spinningrobotpussy.com, and let's go ahead and get ready. I have to admit, I am surprised by just how fruitful our efforts today have been. It goes to show how little I've been thinking about divine selection before talking to Naomi about it. It's gotten me to question my own life. I still can't say for sure whether or not it's right of me to want to survive. However, I can say with certainty that I don't want to leave my friends and family upset over my death. That's enough motivation for now. I'm sure Keiko has the same resolve for pushing her forward. In fact, hers is probably stronger considering she has a child. I was told I lost my parents in an accident almost immediately after I was born, so I'm not too sure what it's like to experience the warmth and love that parents can provide. The only thing I have to go on is when my gran spoke to me about my mom. Her expression showed an entirely different kind of love from that, from that she holds for her granddaughter. Okay. Okay. Okay, enough thinking for one day. The more I consider Keiko and her situation, the more empathy I feel for her, which makes me think of her even more. What I should be doing right now is casting my emotions aside and gathering as much info on her as possible. Even Naomi is pushing herself to do what she can for my sake. The last thing I want is to let that go to waste. My priority right now should be to get some rest. Thus, I crawl into bed and close my eyes. After school, Naomi and I come back to Lion House together again. Keiko never has approached me again after that one night. She probably realized that I now know her name. Right, I assume she's aware of the potential risk in approaching you again thanks to that, too. Let's do this. After I ensure that my book is in the bag, I guide Naomi to the hospital. By the time we reach the lounge, I realize that I never did ask Naomi how she plans on approaching Keiko's family. Even without me there, it doesn't change the fact that she's just a random high schooler to them. I highly doubt they'd be willing to share such, private information with a stranger like that. Fortunately, the lounge is on the same floor as Keiko's room, so I'll be able to hear Naomi scream should anything go wrong while I wait. She isn't quite as clumsy and shy in front of me anymore, but this is Naomi we're talking about. I can't help but worry about her. I know that she said she'd do her best for my sake, so I'll trust in her. After some time passed, a man in his late 30s passed by me. I assume it's Keiko's husband and try to avoid eye contact. I move my gaze to look outside the window, waiting for his footsteps to fade. Rinka? Ak, you startled me. Being approached from behind like that causes me to yelp, though no one seems to pay me much mind. Naomi's voice sounds somewhat gloomy. Welcome back. How did it go? My heart's about to explode for one. As for actual information, most of what I learned will only help us to narrow down the possible causes. So you didn't learn anything specific? Right, it seems like she always... it seemed like she always had a frail disposition, but no particular diseases to speak of. However, she'd been entering preterm labor on a consistent basis, which eventually led to a premature birth via emergency C-section.
週間近く入院しているみたいです。
The child had to be admitted afterwards, so both of them have been in the hospital for close to 3 weeks now. That overlaps with the timing of divine selection. The books we were reading yesterday mentioned preterm labor and premature birth. Premature birth is when the baby is born before the expected date, and preterm labor is when you enter the first stages of labor earlier than you should. The mother suffers from constant pain and bleeding during this, so she has to be kept as idle and relaxed as possible. I guess things took a turn for the worse, which led to her needing a C-section. How did you manage to get that much out of them in the first place? I told a little white lie. Her tone is more hushed than usual. It's probably why she seemed a bit gloomy afterwards. I told them that I noticed her whenever I'd come here to visit my friend who'd also been hospitalized. I said I was worried about her, but I felt it would be rude to ask about her situation directly. I also said I would bring her some flowers soon. That eventually led to them telling me what I just told you. Naomi, well, we got that. She looks like she's ready to cry. She pried information from Keiko's family for the express purpose of eliminating her. Knowing how kind of a person she is, there's no doubt she's beating herself up over it. All I can do is grit my teeth. She did this for my sake, so I can't give her some half-hearted consolation. Figuring it'd be too risky to discuss things further here, we make our way back to Lion House. We dive right into discussing her cause of death upon our return. I wouldn't call it a bright conversation. Hardly surprising, but both of us make sure not to comment on it. I read yesterday that premature birth and C-sections place a significant strain on the mother as well. She might not have had any notable diseases, but she still had a frail disposition. Put two and two together and... blood loss seems most likely. The book doesn't react. I can't tell if it's because I'm wrong, or if it's because I'm not going through the proper process with the correct information. I was pretty confident in that conclusion after discussing things with Naomi, too. No reaction. Does that mean we're wrong, then? I'm fairly... I'm fairly certain her family would have beaten around the bush if she had a specific condition, though. The fact that they didn't means she really doesn't. I grabbed some of the books we checked out of the library to make sure we haven't missed something. Naomi does the same. I end up coming across something relevant quicker than expected. This might be it. I point to a page detailing one of the leading causes of death during childbirth, a brain hemorrhage. I describe this being caused by an artery in the brain bursting, which leads to internal bleeding in the surrounding areas. Not only does it impact your senses and consciousness, but it can lead to death should a tumor become big enough to put significant stress on the brainstem. Yes. This is something I thought I had, but thankfully did not. But I've read a lot of information on it, and it's definitely a serious thing, so be very careful. The reason it can kill you is because the brainstem regulates the central nervous system, making it one of the most vital parts of your body. Most cases of death during childbirth can typically be traced back to this. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Oh. It started shining. Wait, really? I can't see anything. My book starts to shine almost immediately after I come across that information. Naomi doesn't seem to be able to see it, so I explain what it does when you successfully turn information into a card. The light congregates once again and gives birth to a new card. Oh, there it is! I guess she can see the card itself and what's written on it, though, just like the others I possess. I assume it's got something to do with the fact that giving them a physical form means their existence becomes reality. I place the card on the table so she can read it. Written on his numeral 8's cause of death, a brain hemorrhage. Oh wow. This is it, huh? This killed her. She gave birth to her child only to die of a brain hemorrhage. The fact that her child's in the hospital means that its birth wasn't undone at the beginning of divine selection. In that case, it might be safe to assume that Keiko didn't die during the process, but sometime after. I can't say I feel pleased over having made some progress, in all honesty. I'd actually say I feel worse now, having learned the circumstances behind her death. Naomi likely feels the same way. I don't think there's any other way to explain the complex facial expression she's making right now. I have to be the one to break this awkward silence. We should find out her regret while we're at it. I notice that I stopped referring to her by name. The worst thing I can do is let myself feel any attachment to her. I know for a fact that I'll regret things later down the line if I do. This is what happens when you learn the circumstances behind someone's death. Well, there's no arguing that it's related to her child, at least. Is she worried about its future? The book doesn't react. Playing the guessing game won't get us anywhere. I agree. We should make our way back to the hospital. Somehow we make it all the way over there without considering the notion that there's no way they'll let strangers in to see the newborns. Neither of us are too surprised, though. Sorry. Sorry, part of me realized this would happen, but... We might need to go about this another way. But you say the next round is tomorrow night, isn't it? If we miss our opportunity, then it's likely that both her and the other participants will be working even harder to find out more information. We should do as much as we can now. I know you're right, but I get where she's coming from. None of the other participants have approached me so far, so right now I'm best off focusing on her, both in terms of efficiency and to prevent my own info from being dug up. It's 7 p.m., so visiting hours will end in an hour. We won't be able to stick around much longer. I honestly have no idea what else we could try. I'll speak with her personally. She may suspect me, but I'll do what I can to pass myself off as someone else. She tells me to wait here as she gets up, ready to turn off. I try to stop her, but all I do is cause her to trip over her own feet. Oomph! Sorry! Fortunately, the fall brings her back to her senses. I tend to act impulsively, and it looks like Naomi's the same way. In fact, she might even be worse than me. Especially when you consider how quickly she made her decisions, both in regards to helping me out and learning how to brew coffee. You two do realize you're in a hospital, don't you? I feel a chill run down my spine the moment I hear that voice. I am kneeling down to give Naomi a hand, so I stare upward and into her face. You're... Kamabuchi Keiko, the very person who we spent the past few days investigating as much as possible. Why is she even here in the first place? We made sure to discuss things on a different floor from the one her room's on. This works for me, though. I was in the middle of looking for you, Shishimai Rinka. The tone of her voice is chilling, but her saying my full name out loud makes it ice cold. I step forward in an attempt to keep Naomi from her line of sight, but there's no way she hasn't noticed her. Your little friend seems to have had a lovely discussion with my husband. It must be nice having someone to cooperate with you. I can't find an appropriate response. Much like our first meeting, I risk putting myself in danger if I say anything without thinking first. There's no need to panic, Rinka. I just want to discuss things with you. Discuss things? There's no doubt the discussion will be regarding divine selection. A few moments later, I nod my head. You can't! You may leave. I'm only interested in Rinka. Don't worry, if she just wants to talk, then that's fine. I nod reassuringly at Naomi, who looks worried sick over the situation. Even so, be careful. I already said there's no need to panic. I'm not here to hurt her. I just want to talk. How about we go to the lounge upstairs? It should be rather empty at this time, and I'd much rather not discuss things in my room where other patients are around. As for your little friend, she can wait right here. I'd hate for her to try and eavesdrop. I follow her after that, leaving Naomi, who looks as worried as ever, behind. Once we reach the lounge, she directs me to take a seat and walks off. She returns shortly thereafter, a can of coffee and a bottle of water in her hands. Here, take it. I accept the coffee, unable to hide my surprise. There must have been a vending machine close by, but should I really take this when she's technically an enemy? Don't worry, it isn't poisoned. We might be in a pretty unbelievable situation right now, but that doesn't change the fact that those kinds of substances are rather difficult to come by. That's not what I... Relax, I understand. I was rather frantic during our first meeting. I must have frightened you. Hearing that admission from her, I take a sip of the coffee. Heh, quite the gutsy one, aren't you? I figured you were just working part-time at that cafe, but you actually live there, don't you? On the second floor, I believe. I don't answer. Nor do I question how she knows. It's an easy conclusion to come to when you know both my name and Lion House. Was coffee the right choice, by the way? I figured you'd like it, all things considered. I do. Still, I can't bring myself to thank her for it. She seems to have expected as much since she gives me a slight grin before taking a drink of her water. First of all, allow me to apologize. I was in a panic back then because I only knew your name, not to mention the fact that that man in the dream world got a hold of mine while I could do nothing but sit in this hospital. Are you not doing so well? Is that your sly attempt to learn my cause of death? She stares me right in the eye. It's clear to me that there are several more layers to her when she's calm. This is what an adult looks like. Well, it's likely that you've already learned it by now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so focused on my regret, considering that's the hardest piece of info for any of us to get our hands on. Were you listening the whole time? Oh, and here I was thinking you noticed me doing so at some point. We really should have gone back to Lion House first. Just because there were plenty of people here during visiting hours didn't guarantee that we wouldn't be caught. By the way, I'm not here to try and scare you, so let's drop that subject. My main intention is to propose that we both stop digging up info on one another. What's that supposed to mean?
あなたの情報を探るのをやめる。
Exactly how it sounds. You give up on your little information hunt, and I give up on mine. In other words, a ceasefire of sorts. Like you said, I know both your name and your cause of death. Yes, and I happen to know the exact same details regarding you, so we're currently on an even playing field. That makes my proposal all the more appealing, no? Wait, you know my cause of death? My surprise spills out when she reveals her hand. When exactly did she find that out? I never got the impression that she was doing any digging into my life. I even tried looking up why that fire broke out in the train, but the event itself had been undone. In that case, she either had that card from the beginning, or she heard my discussion with Naomi at the park. Still, I made sure to check that there wasn't anyone close enough to overhear us when we were there. Wiretapping, maybe? No. That tech is about as hard for someone in her situation to get her hands on as the poison she joked about earlier. The wind's pretty strong at the park, so you'd need high-spec stuff to counteract all that interference as well. That leaves the former, then. I still find it hard to believe that she'd just conveniently end up with two of my cards out of the total of 36. Don't forget that I can easily spread your info amongst the other participants or even use it as a bargaining tool. That goes for the man who now knows my name, too. She really is worried about numeral 12, though. Or 12, is what it says. Not that I blame her. He isn't the type of person you'd encounter normally. Meanwhile, she looks more confident than ever. But something feels off. That's all I can think of as I stare at her. Are you telling me the truth? Is there any reason for me to lie in a situation like this? If you're that concerned, then I can show you my cards if you like. Of course, you need to show me yours in exchange. Trust is of the essence here, so I need you to... Sorry, I refuse. Huh? I say it loud and clear. Not just to settle my own nerves, but to make sure I establish some leverage of my own. Right. Right. Yeah, I do remember that. She did ask for the cause of death. You asked for my cause of death when we first met, so it's safe to assume that your starting cards didn't include that info. And I find it hard to believe that you could figure it out between then and now. Not to mention that I'm still fuzzy on the details of my own death. Even if she did manage to listen in on my conversation with Naomi, there are too many unknown factors for her to get a card out of just that. I got a hold of it through channels you're not aware of. What sort of channels? Oh, just chalk it up to an adult's resourcefulness. I detect a slight hint of panic in her tone. It's enough to convince me. It also serves to kill any sense of sympathy I've been holding for her. You sit there and talk about trusting each other while you're blatantly lying to my face. I'm not, I swear, I know how you died. I stand up and look down on her. Her eyes blast wide open as she stares back up at me. It was suicide, right? Wait, no, an accident? Sorry. But we're done here. I would have considered your proposal had you been telling the truth, but you just had to go and lie. I'm not kidding. Her attempt to gain my trust despite lying to me has drained every ounce of sympathy I had for her. I no longer care about the things I've imagined about her life after learning how she died. Wait, please don't go. Her voice is full of angst as she tries to stop me. I don't even bother to respond, opting instead to make my way directly back to Naomi. I want to live. I need to make it through this. I even tried lying to a kid, and yet, at this rate, Our ages are irrelevant. Let's try it again. Our ages are irrelevant. She finally irritates me enough to prompt me back to shout at her. Hold on. She finally irritates me enough to prompt me to shout at her. At the same time, I feel my eyes starting to burn for some reason. This is goodbye. I stopped not too far from where we were sitting. I'm supposed to be done with her, yet I can't help but worry. It doesn't take long for me to realize why. Her exasperated claim about wanting to live was, without a doubt, the truth. That really was risky. I was pretty close to agreeing with her proposal. But our ages are irrelevant. I guess I'm just weak towards people who are pouring their heart out. After taking a moment to gather myself, I go back to where Naomi has been waiting. Huh? Naomi! She isn't there when I get back. I decide to wait, figuring she'll be back soon. Little do I expect that decision to lead to the most terrifying situation I've been in yet. I recognize you. Ah! My entire body freezes up the moment I see him. Tall, dark skin and positively ripped. You can almost see his muscles trying to break out of his clothes. He's one of the few people you could describe as being built like a tank with no exaggeration. But even more terrifying than his build are those stone-cold eyes. I've seen him twice before in the dream world, but seeing him here in the real world drills home just how irregular a man like this is. Numeral 12, the man responsible for Divine Selection's first elimination, and the man in possession of Numeral 8's name card. You'll be my target later down the line, but for now, I have no business with you. He passes right by me, heading in the direction from which I came. Just being in his presence made me feel like I was drowning. I must have been taking fewer breaths than usual or something. The realization that I'll need to gather information on him almost makes me want to give up right here and now. Oh, sorry, my mom called me, so I... Huh? What's wrong? Naomi just happens to return right as he leaves. I'm so glad we came here together. Just hearing your voice helps me to realize that I can't just roll over. I give her a quick rundown of what happened. If he doesn't have any business with you, then that must mean... He has her name card, so he must be aiming for her. Wait here, I'll follow him. Naomi stops me as I try to go. Why would you follow him? You've got no reason to. You're right, but I can't help but remember her pain expression, her desperate voice. I can't sit here and do nothing. Stay put. If anything happens, I'll get in touch. Be ready to contact the police. Rinka! She lets go, almost as if she's lost all the strength in her arm. I sprint away before she can say anything else to stop me. It takes a few minutes to get her out of her room. Rather, it takes a few minutes to try and convince the nurse, considering visiting hours are over. She eventually comes out of her own volition after hearing me shout. You're safe. Why did you come back? Her expression is completely devoid of life. I'm the one responsible for that, too. Did you change your mind? She asks with obvious doubt in her voice. I can't give her an immediate reply. That man's definitely aiming for us, so I find it hard to believe that I beat him here. And he's got his book on him as well, considering he was able to speak to me. I doubt I could read the signs here without it. In that case, how did I get here without even passing by him? Wait, don't tell me. Wait a minute, what are you doing? I grab her by the hand and try to drag her along, which obviously takes her by surprise. Your child's in danger! She resists at first, but that stops the moment she hears me say that. Number 12 is right here inside this hospital. He is! Don't tell me he plans on taking my baby hostage. Finding out that she's given birth recently isn't a particularly difficult task, and it goes without saying that a 3-week-old baby has no means to defend itself. They may not be letting strangers in to see the newborns, but he's the type of man who seems to be able to get around an issue like that with ease. I don't know him personally, but I do know the fear inspired by those eyes. Please, don't! She keeps mumbling as I lead her to the nursery. What I witnessed upon her arrival is far more disastrous than expected. The lights in the hallway leading to the nursery are off, and all the emergency lights have been shattered. A faint light coming from the room beyond tells us that what we need to know about the situation. What the hell happened here? Having shot ahead of me, she is the first to raise her voice. It doesn't take long for me to understand why. I see a number of nurses sprawled out on the floor. No! I lay my ear close to their mouths and confirm that they're still breathing. I expected the worst, but it seems like they're all alive. However, an even worse scenario soon presents itself before me. Naomi! For some reason, Naomi is among the unconscious nurses. I'm sorry. She's obviously struggling to speak, but she does so nonetheless. I notice her glasses lying not far from her body. The lens is cracked. I figured he was aiming for the baby, so I tried to stop him. That baby's done nothing to deserve this. You idiot! Ah! She runs straight towards the room from which the light emanates. Yeah, ignoring my calls for her to stop. Rinka, get away from here! I'm sorry, Naomi. Rest here a little bit longer, okay? I grip my teeth and give chase. Hey, what are you doing? A voice roars out as I reach the nursery. The babies all start to cry, likely because their shouting has woken them up. A number of nurses lie unconscious here as well. The fact that the babies only now woke up means he somehow made it this far by being swift and silent. The mere fact that he is capable of such a thing is utterly insane. Silence. He directs a quiet but threatening order toward the babies. As if it worked on them, though. Or rather, as if that would work on them, though. Of course it wouldn't. I'm just as shocked as she is. His command somehow manages to silence every tiny voice at once. I feel my legs get glued to the ground in the presence of such a monster. My entire body starts to shudder. Why did I come here in the first place? Why are you here with her? Hi. She's here to sniff out info on me as well, so she probably figured she could use the situation to her advantage. Huh? Figures. Figures, you heard me earlier. I have no business with you at the moment. I'm aware of how notable this country's security measures are, so I prefer to wrap this up quick. His tone is low, but steady. The fact that he can maintain such poise in a situation like this is unsettling. Why did you come here? I know your name, so learning your location and why you're here was a minor task.
その意味はわかるか?
Let's forget about the how. You're aware of what I mean when I say I want to do this quick, aren't you? I'm not, but right now I need you to step away from the children. That only proves that you don't know... That only proves that you know exactly what I plan on doing, but fine. Allow me to spell it out for you. Your name is Kamabuchi, if I recall. Therefore, this is the bed I'm looking for. He locates her baby right away. The baby's name is written on the bed. I can't see its face from where I stand, but I can read its name, Haruki. I assume it's a boy then. Or Haruki. Surrender your cause of death and your regret. Otherwise, I'll see to it that your baby dies tonight. What? He states his intent to kill her newborn son without the slightest trace of hesitation. I feel the color fade from my face. Taking hostages isn't a pleasant situation in the first place, but how can he talk about killing a baby like that? She probably expected this too. Even so, there's no way she can remain calm having heard that. No one could when someone's family is threatened. Alright. You're wasting your time. I interpret her before she can say anything. This is it. I need to muster up all my courage and knowledge so I can try to negotiate with him. Anything to get through this situation. Security should be here. Security should be here any minute now. Even you won't be able to escape so easily then. And once you're caught, you won't be able to do anything for the remainder of Divine Selection. Let them come. I'll simply escape with her child. Dealing with a few people on the way is easy enough. It may complicate things afterwards, but it doesn't change the fact that I will come to possess Keiko Kamabuchi's information. He answers right away and continues his threat. 30 seconds. I'll kill the child in the bed next to yours if you haven't answered by then, followed by another child 30 seconds after that. If you haven't answered, then yours will be the next. They have nothing to do with this. I don't know, at this point, I would probably be trying to make the guy die again. Like, I don't know if they're invincible or what, but I would like to find out. Grab something pretty heavy and see how strong his head is. Muscles are strong, but what about his head? I mean, is he a shonen character? I'm trying to figure this out. Keep calm. If you don't, he'll add your own info as part of a deal. She whispers this just quietly enough so that he can't hear. Keiko, you have numeral 1's information, don't you? That's why she doesn't want you to be eliminated. That's not... I deny his claim on instinct, but she really does know my name. Realizing this only now proves how foolish I am. But even if you do kill them, that'll be undone if you're eliminated, so... That's enough! Fine, I'll tell you my cause of death and regret. Get on with it. He remains completely devoid of emotion. It's plain to see that you both have information on one another. That statement prevents me from saying another word. I can't spell any more crucial information. Thanks for going this far for my sake. But!
彼以外の人が先手に残れば、私の子供や他の子供が死んでもなかったことになるでしょうね。
You're right that my child's death would be undone if anyone other than him makes it all the way to the end. Regardless, what kind of mother would willingly expose her child to such danger? Get on with it already. I have just one condition. Step away from the bed and swap positions with us. Very well. He moves over to the entrance. We make our way to the bed. We can shield the babies like this, sure, but it also gives them an easier escape route. I died from blood loss, a brain hemorrhage to be specific. The chance of a woman dying during childbirth here in Japan is almost non-existent in modern times, so I must have been ridiculously unlucky. Don't waste my time with such useless drivel. He takes his book out, waits for her to continue. I had a frail disposition from the get-go, so I guess it was just a case of my body not being able to take the strain. Your regret. He rushes her along after confirming that he's obtained a new card. The baby's name. Her answer takes me by surprise. She's already named it, so how can that be her regret? If I'm eliminated, then everything I've done during this time would be undone. I'm the one who named him Haruki. My mother-in-law didn't like the sound of the name, though. She was more concerned with that over the meaning behind it. That's why I sincerely felt that the name she proposed instead was lazy. She cuts herself off for a brief moment. Her expression doesn't change in the slightest. His gaze is clearly telling her to get on with it. Guess he doesn't have enough information to believe her just yet. My husband was in favor of the name she'd come up with. I talked things over with him, though. After Haruki was born, the fact that I was riding the line between life and death while giving birth probably prompted me to do so. Well, I guess all mothers would do the same thing either way. In the end, he was willing to listen and eventually agreed with me after hearing why I wanted to name my child Haruki. Following that, I filled out the birth certificate with the name I decided on. Your name almost represents your life itself, doesn't it? That's why I hold the name of my first child in as high regard as my own future. Her delivery is more than enough to convince me that she means it. The words weigh heavily on me too. One's regret and one's future are inevitably intertwined. This is the moment I get to learn the future that Keiko wants to see. I wanted more than one child, but it looks like Haruki would be my first and last. No, I suppose he won't be named Haruki once I am eliminated. So you are telling the truth. Yep. And unfortunately, I have to cut it short on this really crazy moment, and we will get back to you guys later as we have hit time, and I will have more of this, a much longer episode, on the next Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. Stay tuned.